You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylish knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Where the party they gon' have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. Marco Bill, how's everybody out there? A lot of action going on this week, my friends. The hotlines are hotlining. A lot of activity in various areas. We got a couple new guys here, West Virginia. And also got a call from Michigan. Two guys in Michigan there. They have a lot of activity going on right now in the last couple days. So it's pretty hot and heavy. I'm going to thank our listeners and all our Bigfoot family out there for the emails and the well wishes you give us. Again, I'd like to put out there to everybody, there's a lot of us out there that are in not such good health, or if even it's not health, you know, today's economy and other things take a toll on us as well. And just like to put out there that maybe everybody can just lift up a little prayer for our fellow friends, and it helps. Maybe they can at least feel a little better. It won't get better, but at least they'll feel a little better. Anyway, let's. I had another gentleman. I had two people from West Virginia they're within 10 miles of each other. And on two different nights, they both called me, and they both had individual encounters, and it was a very interesting. So we're going to go out here, and we're going to go to our good friend Alex from West Virginia. Alex, how are you tonight, my friend?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, Alex, you know, why don't you give us an overview of what took place and what happened? Give us a little bit of a rundown of what took place.
I was just riding, actually, four-wheelers above my house, and I got up on top of this flat, and I seen this creature, like, walking, like, up the hill to a wood line, and it's just something I've never seen before, and it is huge, like 7 to 7.5 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's unbelievable.
Okay. And about how long did you have a good look at it?
Probably 20 seconds, 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. And were you able to determine the color of the hair or the fur or anything? Any characteristics that you could tell us about?
It was like a dark to light brown. And, like, I mean, just huge steps. Like, it took just huge steps.
Yeah. Walk kind of fast, then, right?
Yeah.
Were you able to see the face at all?
No, actually, I was not. It was kind of like a side view. I mean, I could see, like, it had, like, a flat nose. I mean, the nose did not stick out or anything from what I could tell.
Right, kind of a flat face?
Right.
And what about the shoulders and the neck?
The shoulders were just huge. I mean, just wide and bulky.
Mm-hmm. Now, could you smell anything?
No.
Okay. I'm just asking because a lot of times
these
things emit a really yucky smell. Smells like between rotten eggs and a wet dog and a bunch of other things.
Right.
And so you seen this, you seen the creature, took off. Actually, it didn't really just kind of walk kind of fast, right?
Right.
And so have you, did you get a chance to look around the area where the creature was?
Yes, actually I was. And there was just like scrapes all over the ground, huge scrapes too.
Uh-huh.
And I know, like, turkeys and bear did not do it. I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any, like, we call them tree twists?
Yes, I did.
Branches that were twisted.
Yep. I found probably four of those within, like, 200 feet.
Uh-huh. Could you see? Was it possible to see any footprint, or it was just a lot of leaf litter, or what?
Just a lot of leaf litter. I wasn't able to find a footprint.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's the leaves and the grass and all that stuff kind of prevent that if it's you know a really messy area there.
Right.
So how did you feel when you saw this thing, Alex?
I was just amazed. Really, I didn't know that it was real. At the time.
Yeah. Now, this took place when?
It was around 6, 7 o'clock at night. I think it was like 6:30 when I checked my phone after this happened.
Uh-huh.
And it was on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was kind of a cool night, too. It wasn't really hot.
Okay. Now, just about 10 miles from where you live, a guy by the name of Melvin lives.
Yeah, that's one of my best friends, yes.
And he also had a good encounter, huh?
Right.
So you both in kind of the same area, really, right?
Right.
That was pretty amazing.
Yes, it's really amazing. Actually, I'm sorry, but my phone is almost dead. Can I call back on a different line?
Sure you can. Well, what we'll do is you can come back on, and at the end of the show, we're going to have all kinds of questions and answers and stuff, and
okay.
You can listen to the rest of the show. Just dial back in, and we'll have you do that, okay?
All right, thank you. And you do this every Wednesday, too, right?
Every Wednesday.
All right, I appreciate it. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thank you, Alex, and we'll see you in a little bit here.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Alex from West Virginia. And his friend, just about 2 days ago, gave me a call. And he also had an encounter. But Melvin could not be with us tonight. We'll probably have him on next week. But a very similar experience. Kind of a neat, huh? right within the same area there. We're going to, Steve from New York has been really doing a lot of, he's been having a lot of activity out there where he's at. And tonight, though, he's got a friend that's going to come on with him, and we're going to go out to see Steve. Steve, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, buddy. Very excited right now. My heart's still pounding a little bit. How's everything?
Pretty good. Is your friend's first name?
Her name is Marcy.
Marcy? Okay. So you and Marcy, now, why don't you tell us what's going on? What happened?
Okay, well, I was telling Marcy about, what's going on with the Bigfoots and stuff. And we drove about 12 miles north of where I live up to a state park. And I brought her basically to the same exact place where, where the tree formation was, where the branches were put inside the tree, the one I sent you the pictures of?
Yes.
Okay, and within about a matter of about 12 seconds as we got out of the car and we were walking towards it, because you have to walk up a little embankment over there to get to it, first we heard a growl, and then we heard two of those tremendous roars that the Bigfoots do. Within a matter of, we heard one Sasquatch do it, and then within a matter of a few seconds later, another one did it. And, she looked at me, I looked at her, I said, that's what that is. And she was like, whoa, I've never heard anything so loud before. And we waited a few minutes, we were looking at the tree formation, and then we drove down about a half a mile down the road, and I made a right turn, and then I saw another really incredible tree formation where it was like sort of like where the trees bent over and it was like sticking in the ground upside down, like I saw with Richard the week before that. And when I got out of the car and Marcy got out of the car, we looked into the woods, I would say about 600 yards away from us, maybe 500 yards away from us, but we could definitely see there was two Sasquatches that were standing up. And then they went down to the ground, and they were hiding behind a tree. And I have the video camera going, okay? Well, the video camera is my cell phone, and I have it on them. And this is going on for about, I don't know, I probably recorded for about two and a half minutes of what was going on. You can't really make them out too good. That's why, I have to find a way, to get the all this stuff to you somehow, and you guys can enhance it, and, we could figure it out. But at least, I had the camera rolling. And, these things were black fur, okay? I've only seen one other one that had black fur before. All the other ones I've ever seen, of course, the one I saw that was the, that was mixed with the grayish, whitish hair was the alpha male. And then I saw one that was tan, too, that was a juvenile. But these guys here had black fur. Both of them had black fur. And that's the first time I've ever seen two at the same exact time, okay? And I know there were Sasquatches. When they were down on all fours, and they were hiding behind the trees, you could see these guys swaying back and forth. They were trying to duck down. They didn't want us to see them. And like I said, I got the camera rolling, and, you know, I'm talking to Marcy, and I'm telling her, you know, just relax, don't get nervous, because, you know, I want to thank Snake Man, too, because, you know, he always tells me, if anything ever happens, and each guy can't show you fear, and, you know, you can't get nervous. I know they were far away from me, but it didn't make a difference, because, you know what, no matter how many times you see these things, you know, my heart always starts pounding, you know what I mean? It's exciting, and, you know,
it's
a beautiful thing, but, you know, the emotions are going, and, you know, and, of course, having her with me and having her see it, you know, which I already know they're real. We all know they're real. That's not the point. But having somebody else there with you who's actually seeing the same thing that you're seeing makes it 1,000 times better. And I got the video camera going. I got my phone going, and I'm recording it. I'm praying to God that we can, you know, we can enhance it or whatever. We could see them. And they're down there, and they're moving around, you know, and they're doing the typical things that Sasquatch is doing when they're in a position. They do not want to be seen. And they're trying to hide, you know, and they're more concerned, obviously, of, you know, of us not seeing them, you know. And then it got to the point, I think, when they realized that we already saw them. And, I mean, these things, you can see they're on all fours. They started getting lower and lower and lower, and they're, like, trying to hide behind a log, you know. And, you know, Marcy and I are both looking at it, and then, you know, without getting too graphic, you know, I asked her, I said, are you having your period right now? And she said, yes, I had no way of knowing. I asked her, you know what I mean? And that's like, you already know this, that, you know, this is like part of their, you know, their thing. But you know what it was? Let me tell you, buddy, there were so many deer up there tonight, and there was like very few cars. We must have driven about 35 miles. I was driving all over the place. I must have seen about 60 deer at least, if not more. And I only saw about 3 or 4 cars. Now, it's a Wednesday night. It is a state park. But being that it's a Wednesday night, there isn't many people up there. So what I'm thinking is going on is they're probably waiting alongside the road there, waiting for the deer to come up the embankment and just grab them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, so it was very, very exciting. And like I told you, you know, I'm still right now, buddy, I'm still pumped up. I'll be honest with you. You know what I mean? It was, it's always exciting. I've had other stuff happen, you know, this week too as well. Yesterday I was in the woods again by my house, and I went into the, what I call the Indian country, into the left center field woods where it gets really, really wooded in there, and, you know, it's like a rainforest now. You can't see too much. And I was walking in, and all of a sudden I heard wood knocks and the trees pushing, and, you know, at the same time it kind of startled me, and I dropped my phone down to the ground. The battery came popping out. You know, it got wet a little bit, but thank God it wasn't destroyed. I got it back in. That video wasn't able to be saved as far as the wood knocks go. But I'm walking out because I knew that there was some of them. I was surrounded by two of them. There was one on the right and one on the left. And it was following me out of the woods, basically. It followed me out of the woods, basically. And, again, you know, I want to thank Snake Man because, you know, he always tells me, you know, you can't show fear and you got to stay calm and don't get nervous. And, you know, I got out of the woods, you know. And then when I drove up there today, again, you know, I just wanted to show her because recently I started telling her about this stuff, and she was amazed when she saw the tree formations, and she was amazed when she saw, you know, obviously she was amazed when she saw the Sasquatch, but she was amazed when she saw the tree bents, and when she heard the roars. I mean, I'm going to put her on now. She could tell you, you know, she told me she never heard anything like that before, you know, and it was pretty amazing, you know, and again, yet, you know, another situation here, you know, when you see these creatures, let me just tell you something. They weren't as tall as the ones that I've seen in the past, but for whatever reason, these things were freaking wide like you wouldn't believe, man. They were really wide, you know? Like, I know probably because they got so much deer to eat up there, Marco, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I understand. I think it's
so. I'm going to put Marcy on right now. And you could ask her, or you want her to talk, how do you want to do it?
Yeah, put her on.
Okay, go ahead, Marcy.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Marcy. How are you?
Oh, good. That was my first time hearing that. I was like, what the hell was that? When I heard the noise, I was like, what the hell was that? I was like looking around. I was like, Steve, what was that? Did you hear that? I was like, that was amazing. I saw the tree limbs already down. I was like, holy shit. Oh, sorry. It's amazing. It's my first time seeing those brown, those black foots. It was my first time. I was not bothered. I was like,
you were kind of excited, and Did you believe in the Bigfoots before or not?
No, this is my first time.
Uh-huh. So now what do you think?
It's amazing.
Yeah. Can I ask you a couple of questions? What did it look like to you?
They're all black. There were two of them.
Yeah.
One's like a medium size, one's like a big one.
Uh-huh. And what about their shoulders?
Like,
real wide or what?
Their shoulders are big, but their heads are like small.
Okay.
They're black.
Uh-huh.
And when I looked closely, I was like, no way, that's awesome.
I know. You're still kind of excited, aren't you?
Uh-huh. I was in fear. I was like, what am I seeing? What am I looking at? I was like, oh, wow. It's amazing.
Well, that's pretty neat.
Oh, yes.
It's kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
This is my first time seeing that my whole life. Now I know we have, like, Bigfoots.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them out there.
I thought it was all legend. I thought it was not real. Now I know it's real.
Yes, I know. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you put Steve back on, and then thank you so much for coming on and telling us about what your experience was.
Thank you.
She says thank you. Yeah, Marco. Today was, I'll be honest with you, you know what? You know, probably, this is probably the second, the most, you know what, I'll put it ahead of the first, the best experience I've had, when I saw the one with the no obstruction, because there was two of them. You know what I mean? There was two of them. And it's just, you know, again, it's incredible. And these things were so wide. It was unbelievable, buddy. You know, we know there's different species of these things. I understand that. But I think they were the widest I've ever seen. They weren't as tall, but they were wide. I just can't explain it to you. You know what I mean? And
no, I understand.
These were more ape-looking than, you know, like the ones we've seen were, of course, you know, the ones that have the the human, you know, the half human and half ape. This was more, 100% more of an ape type. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was right exactly within a half a mile of where the trees were. Where I showed you where the formation, where they had the stick in the tree. Like I said, once we got out of the car, within a matter of 12 seconds, we heard the two roars that were unbelievable. The type of roars. That's why, obviously, we probably saw the same exact ones that did the roars, because it was so close by, you know. It was like, we were in a canyon, and it echoed in the canyon when they did it, you know. So it was pretty incredible, buddy.
That's pretty good.
And like I was telling you, there were so many tree twists and so many bends and so many tree formations, and we saw these really big trees that were upside down that were unbelievable, buddy. You know, like, I saw a lot of stuff today. I drove around a lot, like, after I saw, because my, like I said to you, you know, when you get so excited, obviously, when you see something like this, you know. And I was just driving around, and I was looking and looking and looking, and I was showing her and showing her and showing her. You know, the more and more we did it, you know, the more and more it was just like, you know, you see more and more of them, you know what I mean? Of the tree formations and everything else. So, you know, honestly, you know, I went up there. I wasn't expecting anything, but, boy, am I happy that I went, and I'm happy she came with me. And, again, you know, just I'm blessed, and I'm very lucky, and I'm very fortunate that, you know, I seem to see them, like, every week I run across one of these things, you know? And today there was two of them, so it was double the pleasure for me.
That's pretty good. I think you guys had a pretty good experience there.
I sure did, buddy.
Makes a lot of difference when there's more than one person there, too, doesn't it?
It sure does, buddy, yeah. And like I said to you, you know, we got to figure out a way now. I got the, I had the video camera going there, buddy, on my phone again. And, you know, so hopefully we could find a way, you know, if we can enhance it, slow it down, blow it up, or whatever. There's a good chance we might be able to get these things on the video.
That'd be good.
Yes, sir.
That'd be really good. Well, I'll tell you what.
I want to thank you for coming on. You guys are going to stay to the end, right?
Yes, we are.
And let her listen to the rest of the people on the show here. And we'll have our little get-together at the end of the show, and she might have some questions for other people, too.
You got it, buddy. We'll be here.
And tell Marcy thank you so much for coming on.
Okay. She says you're welcome, and thank you, buddy.
Okay. I'm going to mute you out for right now.
You got it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Marcy and Steve from New York, and had kind of a big encounter experience here this past day, and pretty neat. Doesn't happen that often like that. We're going to go do a little commercial break here, and then we'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Richard. Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And before we get to the next guest here, I'd like to make a couple little plugs. One, we do have a store, and there's T-shirts, jackets, videos, all kinds of stuff there. And if you'd like to take a look at what we have and maybe order something, all you have to do is go up to www.shoppingforbigfoot.com. Take you right to there and take a look and see what we got. Well, the second thing is we have quite a few new movies out there. They're all available either at the store or they're available on Amazon.com. They're almost anywhere. They're in the stores all over. So take a look. You know, Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Live 2, Bigfoot Live 3, In the Shadow of Bigfoot, Pursuit. So many different, nine different movies we have. They're all documentaries. Okay, documentary, so. And we got a lot of good stuff in them. You can see a lot of the things that we've done while we've been on an expedition. Anyway, you take it easy and, you know, try it out if you'd like. Take a look at it. Okay, we're going to go out here into New York. Going to talk to our good friend Richard. Richard, how are you?
I'm good, Bill, thank you.
Well, tell us what's been happening
today
for you.
I did go out today, and it's raining here, so I didn't go to my usual spot. I went to my backup spot, and I think I found a footprint. And as I was going through it today, it looked so much like the area that I was in with Steve, as far as a stream running through it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know where you were, you would think you were in almost the same spot. And it's close to, not that far from people. So these things do come kind of close to civilization, like we said before. And in
sure.
This spot last year, I actually heard a tree being pushed over. I swear, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I swear, and I went looking for the tree. It's an unmistakable sound when it happens. I mean, it's so loud you can't believe it. And it was evidently done as a warning. But I did find a print. That's about all. But I have coffee in the same place every morning, and my computer's there with me. And I've made a bunch of converts from showing them my stuff. And that video I keep telling you that I have of the creature, if anybody wants to know what these things look like, I've got to send you that video, Bill. You got to send me that attachment so that I can download. It's too big to send over email.
We can do that.
This guy's not very big. It's small. But the face is actually so benign looking. It is the least scary thing you ever saw. And it's got a curious look on its face. And when it turns from kind of a profile and looks directly at you, it looks almost like it's got to be a juvenile because it's not scary at all. And it's only about 2 feet tall. I want to send it so people can see it. I'm so proud of it. I'm proud of what I do. People think you go out there and see stuff after going, finding Bigfoot. They're going to be out there one. That's hundreds of hours worth of work to get maybe two or three really good pictures. And I've got two good videos, and I got a good video where you don't see anything, but you hear it. You hear the warning call for approximately a mile and a half. You know, keep on being repeated. It's not a bird. It's not a fox. It's not a coyote. But you have to go out, and I think because I go to the same area that they get familiar with me, so they get used to me. You can't just go in a spot and expect to see something one day, unless you're super lucky. They're so good at hiding. You can be within 2 feet of them. People say they smell and stuff. I think I've only smelled something twice. I've never really smelled that wet dog skunk smell that people smell. I'm sure there's places where they have it, but I never smelled it. So you don't get no warning of them that way here. And like Steve says, mostly what I see are black ones. Black or like a blackish gray. I don't see too many brown. At least I don't have pictures of them. Just that one that I sent you guys, the big one.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, pretty good.
That's the only one. I see black. I don't know how the colors run. Steve said he saw a light-colored one. And we've talked about that before. That might just be an older one that's turning kind of gray, you know, from being older. Maybe, none of us know.
Man, it's hard to tell. You don't know. Yeah.
We don't know.
Too many questions still open on a lot of things about these.
I know people report seeing like a reddish color and a honey blonde color. I haven't seen that much. The two sightings I had, two visual sightings I had, one was gray, and the other one was pitch black. Black, black, black. As black as you can ever believe. And the face was black, the feet were black, the hands were black, or, you know, blackish gray. But the fur was black, black, black. And that second sighting I had, I could swear I could see fingernails, Bill. That's how clear it was.
Yeah.
And I could see the mouth. I didn't really see the eyes that good, but I could see the mouth. I could see the nose. I could see it didn't have a real prominent sagittal crest, but it did have one. It wasn't a flat like a chimp on top. There was like a little crest. And I can remember that the fingers seemed to be very long. But they could be as individualistic as we are. There could be some that have big hands, some, you know, longer arms. I doubt if they're all the same.
Pretty good.
Yep.
I'll have to get together with you and get you that
please.
Program.
Because I think the listeners, if they could see this video, what I did, Bill, I have the original. I will send you the original video, and I will send you the video that I made of the video, where I actually point. It's a little bit shaky, but I point with my finger, and you can see the look on this thing's face. It is, it's almost cuddly. It's so, it's not scary at all, but in the original video, the reason that I stopped in that area, there was a big, huge black shadow. If this guy's 2 feet tall, the one in the back was 8 to 10 feet tall. Believe me, Bill.
Well,
I think the juveniles are just more inquisitive than the adults. They know you can't. I didn't see it with my eyes. My camera saw it. I hardly ever see him with my eyes. My camera sees him.
Well, it's pretty neat, though.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, where my one area is just like almost identical to Steve's. It's funny. The habitat's almost the same. And you can't. Another thing, Bill, my backup area. You can only go to a small part of it. The other one's private land, and I was chased off of there once. So I don't go over the line because I don't want to get arrested. I've been questioned by the police where I live a couple times for being where I shouldn't be, and I don't want to keep on it, you know, keep happening, you know? You don't want to trust that. That's not too bright.
Well, gosh. I want to thank you for coming on tonight, Richard.
Thank you very much.
Sharing with us, buddy. Keep on plugging away. It's looking good. I'll get you that information.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to start picking up now that the weather's turned here.
Okay.
I'm really going to start hitting it big again. I think I'm getting a new camera for Father's Day, so I hope.
Well, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, it would. And I'll hold on.
Okay, good, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the end of the show here in a little bit.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Richard from New York. And now we're going to go out. Anthony called me earlier here and said he couldn't, he was still at work. So the poor guy's working his butt off. So we're going to go out to Swede and Rocky. And,
hey, Marco, how you doing?
Hi, Swede. Hi, Rocky.
Hey.
Hey, Rob.
How's everybody? Hey. Hey, Swede.
Well, kind of looks like everybody's been having a lot of good action going on, including you guys, too, except for the weather.
Oh, yeah, the weather.
I gave you a little heads up, Rocky, when I called in. I tried to call in a little early.
I see. Well, I tried to call you today, but I couldn't get a hold of you, but... I want everybody to know that I did actually talk to Tom, and yes, he is alive, and I'd like to say hey to him, but he has been, like the one-legged man at the butt-kicking contest. He's been really, really busy, and he wanted me to tell everybody that He would contact us as soon as he was possibly able to.
Cool.
But that being the case, me and the Swede met this kid from Arkansas, from Little Rock. I was talking about it last week. We were supposed to get together with him. And last Friday, I talked him into my place of business, and I got off a little bit early, and we headed for the kid's name is Brian. I was hoping that he would call tonight, but apparently he didn't. He said he's still not too sure that he's up to that, but, he assured me that he thought that me and the Swede were certifiable. but me and him got out.
You need
to the woods early. Do what?
need to explain that certifiable. Not because we're crazy, just where we went was crazy.
No. He said that we were crazy. He said the place wasn't crazy. We was crazy for going there.
That's what I meant. Yeah, go ahead, Rocky.
But anyhow, me and him got there a little bit before the Swedes, so we, the way we went in, he had already explained to me where the place was, and so on the way in, I drove past the place where he turned in to go to our destination, and he was telling me, no, you're going the wrong place, and I told him to bear with me. And so I went around, and I went the other way. And, well, all of a sudden we just popped out of the woods, and there was the lake. And he was kind of cussing himself because he almost turned his truck over three or four times, had his girlfriend crying, tore up a fender, knocked a headlight out. And the way I went, well, it's a little bit rough, but it's not life-threatening like the way he went. But me and him set the tent up on my truck, and the Swede came in, wheeling in about a half an hour later. So we loaded him up, and we went and set out some bait, and then we headed down toward the bottoms, and that was when we got back up. He told me that, yeah, going down there and not having to was all the proof he needed that we should probably be put away for our own safety. But anyhow, it scared him pretty bad. There was places where two people on a four-wheeler is just almost impossible. And we lost him once or twice, but, you know, it's all right. We didn't get hurt, just him. We got back, and so we set. I brought my little portable DVR player, or DVD player, and I showed him what's the name of it? Pursuit. Okay, everybody. Pursuit is on. It's for sale at Shopping for Bigfoot. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But he watched it with me, well, with us, and he said that traveling with Chico probably was proof enough that we were certifiable. But anyhow, nothing happened. It was just one of those nights. We heard the coyotes running, and we heard some hogs and that kind of stuff, but it was just a night. We flipped heads or tails to see who stood first watch, and, well, we took turns and didn't anything come of it. Of course, Brian, he snored real loud, so... then it got kind of interesting the next day. We went out four-wheeling, and it was Saturday, and didn't much happen during the day, but we got back that night, and we sat around and we cooked, and we just... You know, we kept an eye out with the infrared. And then, I don't know, it was, what time was it when we heard our first, indication that we had visitors?
You know, Rocky, I'm not just absolutely sure. It's several hours after sunset.
Yeah, I'm wanting to say it's
probably around 11. Clock, probably somewhere in there. Maybe.
About when?
I don't know, somewhere about, I think it was around 11.
That's what I was going to say.
Hadn't started raining. You forgot to tell about the bait, Rock. We put out all that bait.
Yeah, we put out bait in six different places. About 11 o'clock, we'd been sitting there kind of. We was pretty worn out. We was about to run out of steam, and we heard a real deep growling, almost a gurgling noise, to the south of us, and was not a bear. Was not a bear. Wasn't even close to a bear. If it was a bear, it was a big bear. But that wasn't a bear growl. Just wasn't. It's another one of those things. We don't know what it was, but we do know what it wasn't. It wasn't a bear, and there's nothing else out there that could possibly growl like that as far as common animals.
They kind of almost like a coon growl, but with about 50,000 more decibels on it.
Yeah. Really, really deep. Deep.
Yeah, it was way down there. It was almost inaudible. It was so low.
But anyhow, the Brian, he got kind of shook up and pulled his little 9mm Smith & Wesson out. And we told him that, you know, if that made him feel better, that would be fine. But the Swede got his .454 Casull out, and I got my .500 Smith and Wesson Magnum out, and told him that we would just go ahead and, you know, stick with the big stuff. Well, he said he felt a little bit more comfortable knowing that we had howitzers and bazookas. But we was using the infrared and looking all around. And the thing of it is, we had been sitting looking across the lake all that time with the infrared and everything. We was looking across the lake, and which is north of us, and the growl came from south of us, and it wasn't very far off. And we could kind of hear... We could hear some rustling around in the brush up above us. Well, we did the infrared up there, and then Swede pointed out that there's a bunch of folks that think that perhaps that they can see infrared. So we put the night vision stuff away and did some heavy squinting. But then we heard it, I don't know what, 15, 20 minutes later.
Yeah, and it would have been, you know, it was kind of, remember how it was? The moon was kind of coming on where you could, I mean, the moon was pretty big, wasn't full like it is tonight, but it was pretty good size. They're waxing on, but... Then all that cloud came in, and then it got so dark you couldn't see nothing.
But yeah, we were trying to eyeball it while we still had a little bit of light. But then we heard it the second time to the southwest of us. And so we walked down to the west end of the pond, the lake, and we stood around there for a little while, hoping that, you know, it would cross the one little bear spot, but we didn't hear anything else as far as any kind of movement or anything, but we stood there for quite a while. And it was starting to get it was clouding up big time, and we had to go back to the flashlight before we could make it back to the camp without falling in a hole. But before we started back, we heard it one more time, and it was dead due west of us, which meant that when we was moving down to the west end of the lake, it was too, but it was moving faster than we were, because it had already gone past the bear spot. So we didn't hear anything, but we did hear, and there was a little bit of a breeze coming in from that direction. And Brian smelled it first, and then the Swede smelled it, and I could even smell it. And, you know, I couldn't smell my butt if my nose was stuck in it. But anyhow, I smelled that.
It was pretty wet doggy, wasn't it, Rocky?
Do what?
It was pretty wet doggy. That was a real wet dog smell.
It smelled like a kind of a mixture of wet dog and rotten flesh.
Yeah, kind of like an old coyote den, but not so clean, more of a kind of a nasty smell to it.
Yeah, it had a definite whine to it.
Yeah, and of course by this time Brian was...
He wanted to go home.
Need a shadow because he was stuck to my back. he was pretty nervous about the whole ordeal at that point. But we did make it back to the camp, and just not too long after that, Brian said he was ready to, you know, he was ready to give it up. And so I went ahead and stayed up. I stayed up for about another hour and a half, and the sky turned loose, and it poured down to the point where I ran and gotten my stuff out of the tent and put most of my important stuff in my pickup, because I thought my tent was going to float away. And anyway, we pretty well just slept it out. I slept in the cab of the truck and slept it out through the night. We had a hell of a storm. I thought we were going to have to turn Rocky's Dodge into an arc.
But, yeah, I was already whittling out a set of oars.
Man, it was bad. It raised it. It was going over the top of the... When it got daylight in the morning, it was still raining, and the water in that pond was going over the top of that dam at that spillway. You could have floated the boat over it. It really come a big rain, a lot of water in just a short period of time.
Oh, it got within a foot of my truck.
It was really coming up, and...
Brian was freaking out because we wouldn't build a fire. That was the first thing he wanted to do when we got there, start looking for firewood. And we told him, no, we don't do that. He thought that was the most insane thing in the world.
Well, he found out a little bit better, though, after he finally, you know, took our advice about the eye thing and just let your eyes focus, you know, get adjusted some. You don't need that fire blinds you, and he was able to see across the lake and all that, like he was talking, you know. He was pretty in tuned on that after, but of course after all the clouds rolled in, there wasn't no seeing nothing. It just got black. But you know, Rocky, go ahead and tell him about going back down to the after it finally slowed down enough for us to go check our stuff. Go ahead.
We got up the next morning, and we had the bait set. We had four baits set out on the north side of the lake, and we had two to the south of us. Well, we checked the ones to the south first, because that was where we heard the growling at. All right, that was all gone. We went to the north side, and it was all gone. The paracord was, all of them were broke. The first one that we came to on the north side, the tree limb was broke, and the paracord was broke, but all the bait was gone. And there was indentations can't say that it was a track because it rained so hard that nothing short of a bulldozer would have been able to make a track deep enough that it wouldn't wash out. There was indentations around the ones on the north side of the lake. On two of them, there was some pretty good indentations. And I don't know, what size boot do you wear, Swede?
11 and a half.
Well, it was a good 4 inches longer than his boot. And then on up the way, there was a what looked like a heel print, but like I say, it rained so hard that if we were surprised that it didn't wash the truck away.
Yeah, and we looked for some hair on the trees. It was there was some pretty severe damage. We've had baits out.
Well, it was still raining.
Yeah, it was still raining. You know, Marco, you know we've put that bait out for years now, and we've checked baits, and we've had stuff fool around with it and whatnot. But this is the first time ever in our spot that all of it was tore down. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty neat.
In different fashions, too, Marco. You know, I mean, the tree limbs getting broke off. We've had that before, but usually, you know, it's just one sporadic deal, but... And we've had the paracord busted before, but the combination of all six baits being taken during a major storm, whatever was there knew where we were and knew we weren't going to be out in it, and took advantage of it, I think. That's the way I'm thinking. But
the bait that we put out on the south side, we were between it and the lake. Well, the one piece was about 50 yards from camp. The other piece was about 75 yards from camp. And the way that we had it all set out, we could, if it came to the bait while we were up, while we still had the moon, we could have seen it.
In silhouette on the skyline, we could see it. We could see we could have seen something, but the weather did not cooperate with any of that. And then, of course,
no, it didn't. It was bad enough
to tell that, you know, Brian caught on to some of the techniques that we use, and we're just kind of going on about the being certifiable. No, not really. We did scare him pretty bad on the four wheeler travels down in the. He said he didn't think that there was any place like that in Arkansas. He thought it was Jurassic Park, but anyhow, you know, he did catch on to some of the techniques and. He thought that our baiting technique was pretty cool. Said he'd never thought about it, never seen anything like it. And he thought our whole camp situation was pretty cool. But he said that there was no way that he would ever be able to camp like that with his girlfriend or his friends because they would just totally wouldn't be acceptable of our style and technique. But we had some – I can't wait to get back out there, huh, Rock?
No, I'm all fired up. I'm all fired up about it. I'm ready to go next weekend.
I'm saying, it's been we've been, like I was telling Marco, we've been running. You know, we've been running behind tips, and not to say that we don't try to take the tips that we're capable of going to get after and stuff, and you get a little bit of frustration and. Then, of course, you run across somebody that's trying to, you know, pull the wool over your eyes. And that even gives a little bit more. But this spot's been good to us. And this kid, Brian, he was absolutely on the money where it was. I mean, Rocky, you know, when I pulled up there, he was sitting at the spot where we were. And that's exactly where Brian said him and his group were. And, you know, he showed me exactly where the stones came from. They were exactly where they come from when me and Rock was down there after we got caught on the island.
We did find some places where rocks had been pulled up.
Yeah, we walked over there, Marco. We went over there on the cross the way there, you know, we had spoke about last week about the distance maybe being around the 100 yards or so. Really, it's probably a little bit further than that. I mean, in the big picture, even though it is a little bit of elevation, even if you was to, you know, put it on grade, you're talking probably about 145, 150 yards where those rocks were pulled up on that ridge to the other side where we were. And I picked up a rock that was probably not nearly as big as we had tossed at us, and I threw it just as hard as I could throw it, and I didn't get halfway across the lake from the vantage point I was at. So, you know, throwing something that weighed 10 pounds all the way across there really had to have some oomph to it.
Yeah. Well, so should we open it up for everybody?
Sure.
Okay, what we're going to do is we got Steve from New York and Marcy.
Yep,
we do have a Swede. We got Steve, Gentle Giant.
Hey, everybody.
We got Rocky.
Hey, Steve.
Got the Snake Man.
Hey, yo.
And we got Richard from New York.
How's everybody doing? Good?
Everybody here so far doing good. I'm just sitting back having deep-fried catfish.
Oh, that sounds good, John. We'll be there directly.
Hey, I'm glad to hear that Rocky and Sweet actually have somebody taking turns watching instead of everybody sleeping at the same time.
Oh, no, we most always do that. Ever since my cuties got stolen.
Huh?
Ever since my little cuties, my tangerines got stolen, we always have, there's always one of us keeping an eye out.
Well, usually when we go anywhere, Richard, like when, you know, we go out, when we went and visited down there in South Arkansas and stuff, you know, we did the half night thing. We stayed up the whole time, did that on shift pretty much. But when we go out there by ourselves out there for Rocky's birthday thing, you know, we generally stay up, and it's such a big exciting thing just to get out and go for ourselves. Again, that's why we always set up and visit till about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. We both end up going to sleep because both of us is wore plumb out from the week and getting out there and getting setting up. So we usually get one night of, we don't care. We just try to get some sleep and then regroup for the next day.
Hey, Rocky and Sweet, did you guys find any hair samples?
No, we looked.
Go ahead.
We looked, Snake Man, but you know what? Like we were saying, it was raining so hard, and everything was just so hosed that if there would have been any on them trees, and I looked really, really closely around there where we had that paracord tied, and where some of that stuff was ripped off that tree, and I just knew that there was going to be some hair in that bark on some of those trees. But we had actually, you know, tied up on some hickory and some of that old pignut, and it's got a fairly slick bark on it in the young trees we were using, and I didn't see one hair sample. I mean, I looked on all six sites just as hard as I could look for hair, and I never did find any hair.
I looked with the magnifying glass and found nothing.
I heard somewhere that there's some investigators that are actually using duct tape to set a trap to catch hair samples.
Yeah.
Using what?
Well, it is. Go ahead.
They're using like duct tape or something like that with a real heavy, sticky substance to it.
Oh, that would work. You could get them to get into it, probably.
Hey, can I ask you guys, when they're on all fours, do you think they're on their knuckles or their palms?
I've never seen one on all fours. I don't.
Well, my first sighting, it was on all fours. And
any trails that any sign that we ever found, just like when when my fruit got stolen, there was no, I mean, it was just footprints. There was no signs of a knuckle or anything like that. And we hit the trail probably several times that day.
When I was at Steve's last week, I saw what I pointed out to Steve. It looked like it was a knuckle, you know, handprint, but it was a knuckles. And in my area, the first year that I went out, I actually found what looked like a knuckle print. It was the right hand with the thumb, you know, when you put your knuckles down and the thumb to the side, that's exactly what I saw.
Well, you know, my first encounter, Richie, was a face-to-face, and the creature that I saw ran off along the wood line. It started out on both feet and then ended up in the running position on its hind legs and knuckles.
So you think it's the knuckles and not the palm of the hands? You know, the hands flat?
I think eyes.
Well,
I
Richard,
think
we've seen both.
Yeah, I've seen them on their knuckles, and I've seen them on their palms as well. And today, from what I could tell, I was asking Marsky the question right now. They seem to be on their knuckles today as well. Both of them were on their knuckles today.
Well, that's one of those things we've never seen anything. The only thing that we've ever seen other than just footprints was the night that the Swede got a shot off, and you could see where it had where it had just kind of peeled out trying to get out of there, and then the next step you could see, well, anything can mess up, but there was a, you could see where the heel hit and it slid, and it went down on one knee. And the knee print was there. And after that, we saw a couple more footprints. But, you know, we was trying to track at night. And so, you know, we did the best we could. And it wasn't until the next day that we were actually able to find any more. And it was headed in the direction of that lake that we were just talking about, but it didn't go to the lake. It cut up over the hill from about halfway to the lake. It took off over the hill.
Well, Rocky, you remember on that video that Marco has down there on the river down there where those two footprints was coming up out of there, and there was still that wet footprint there in the shale.
Mm-hmm.
And that shale dust there, and then up above it there on that bank, we couldn't determine if that was a hand print or if it was a knuckle print. But I videotaped it really good, and somebody else could look at it and probably get a, you know, make a determination. But it's kind of sandy. It was hard to tell if it was like a knuckle and a knuckles and thumbs or if it was fingers and thumbs. It's hard to tell.
The one I got is
we've got videos of both.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Rocky and Sweden.
In Utah last year, two kids up in the mountains there, they got a couple of handprints right in the mud. I mean, really beautiful, just fresh. Okay.
Wow.
Tom has a video where we, you know, you see the one that I have on the website where the thing is climbing a tree.
Yeah.
Well, before that, there's another video where the creature's coming around up the hill, and as he's coming up the hill, he's knuckle walking up the hill.
Well, you know, chips are on their knuckles, and gorillas are on their knuckles, but baboons are on their palms.
Don't know about that. All I can tell you, it goes both ways.
We've got
pictures and videos of both.
Hey,
just my experience, guys, it's like, you know, Rocky will tell you this, and I don't know if any of y'all have had this experience or not, but, you know, I finished concrete for a little while, which, you know, it was one of those things I did to, you know, feed my family. I didn't enjoy it, but I got really good at it. And there was a lot of times when you're out there and you're reaching over and you're leaning down on that trowel supporting yourself, you're basically standing on your knuckles holding yourself up while you're working that other hand.
Absolutely.
And, a lot of times you can support yourself a lot easier on your knuckles than you can on your palm. And I think it's a situational thing. If they, you know, it depends on what they're doing. Maybe they just, you know, if they're messing around with something, they use their hand, and if they're just using them, maybe a little bouncing deal, they'll use their knuckles.
See, well, the knuckle involves a lot less wrist articulation.
Right, you got more strength.
Yeah, you got a straight down push that you don't have with the palm.
Well, primarily these creatures walk erect like we
right.
do. Okay, the instances in the videos and other things that we have are areas where they've, like on a side of a bank,
right.
like crawling up a hill. Okay, and that's where we have the pictures of the knuckle walking. We have pictures of palms and the handprints where they've lifted themselves up. So, I mean, I don't know if there's any set thing about it. Primarily, they walk erect.
Well,
they don't walk. I mean, if you look at a monkey or a baboon, I mean, they don't walk erect. They're walking on all fours all the time.
Yeah, they sometimes walk erect, which would be the
other. Well, so, yeah, but very short distances. Take
yeah,
a look at
the same Mike, thing for the Bigfoot. They walk erect, and sometimes they go down on all fours.
And don't get,
guys, my first sighting was one on all fours, and it was going through heavy, heavy brush. Maybe it's easier to go through brush on, you know, low on all fours than to be straight up.
No,
well, I'm sure they do. I mean, sure they do. I've also seen them crawl.
Yeah.
We have where they crawl on the ground. I mean,
mm-hmm.
on their stomachs.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go
in the grass, just like you've seen a deer. You've all seen deer, right? You've seen how a deer can go through 6 inches or 8 inches of grass, and you'd never know it was there. And
right,
what it does
that.
Is it goes on its stomach flat to the ground, and the front and the hind feet are digging, crawling.
Right.
And they can do pretty good.
Hey, Marco, we had some activity over here in Paris, Texas, just like last week. I was talking to a game warden here in town, and some campers apparently had rocks thrown at their tent, heard a hellacious howl sound, and found footprints by their boat.
Wow, pretty good.
And this is all in the same area, and this is all I'm going to be able to say for right now. It's all in the same area where Tom and the crew came out last time.
Wow.
Hmm. Well, what I was trying to get at, Richard, wasn't, I don't think there's any specific way that they, you know, do things. I think primarily they're walking erect. And occasionally when they go on their knuckles or they go on their palms, they do both ways. Probably is the same as we do. You know, if you're going up the side of a hill, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, just, I don't think it's a specific, you know, trait. I think they just do whatever it's comfortable for them to do when they're doing it, I guess. I don't know.
And Bill, well, I said I've never smelled anything. I take that back. I don't know. When I was young, we used to go to the zoo, and I did smell what smelled like the monkey cage at the zoo one time when I was out. That's the only
well,
way I can explain it.
When me and the Swede was out this last time when I heard that first growl, I smelled something then, but I think that might have been the guy that was with us.
Oh. You know,
could have been,
I
right.
thought you were talking about your friend Dennis when you were talking about that guy. It took me a while to figure it out.
I don't have a friend, Dennis.
Well, you know Dennis.
Yeah.
Well, for one
yeah.
thing, after the lights went out, Dennis would have been either gone or he would have had every lamp and light and fire going, that you could have probably seen it from outer space.
He went to the, my stepdad had some, had a cabin out in that area a few years ago. Dennis was going to meet me out there. When I was driving down the road, I thought I'd made a wrong turn and I was pulling up to the carnival or something. I got there, and there was probably 6 kerosene lanterns hanging on the front porch. There was a lantern on every tree. I don't know how he got them all out there. But I guarantee you could have seen it from space.
That tells me somebody afraid of the dark.
He was definitely afraid of the dark, and he got really, really mad at me because I blew them all out.
Yeah.
And so he went in the cabin and wouldn't come out till the next morning.
Well, I was kind of scared of him, too, because he was scared of the dark, and if it did get dark, he'd have it. He was armed, and he was, you know what I mean?
Rocky, I think I'd be afraid of him.
That's
Rocky,
what I mean.
Do they call him boogers where you are?
Do what?
Do they call him boogers where you are?
There's boogers. Lots of boogers here where I'm at, but most of them hang out at the White Star Tavern.
No, but, I mean, I know down places in the South they call the Bigfoot boogers. That's where the term
came from. I've actually never heard anybody call it that. I've heard it called a lot of other things.
Well, there was a guy, first time I heard it, there was a guy that used to sell knives on television.
Yeah.
And he was in Tennessee, and he was talking about Bigfoot one night, how he went out and he said they were real, and he called them boogers.
Yeah, the boogers is a term they use for Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. The Boggy Creek, the legend of Boggy Creek is, you know, a Bigfoot, only in the swamp, right?
In Arkansas. I mean,
No. I mean, this is, you know, further south, you know, Louisiana and some of the other places that got around.
Yeah.
But
that where that comes from, though, that term, the boogeyman?
No. Boogeyman goes a long ways back, but around here, a booger can mean anything in the dark. If you can't actually see what it is, a bear can be a booger, a coon can be a booger, a big dog can be a booger. There's a lot of anything that's scary in the dark is a booger.
Most of the time when we hear somebody with an account from the old timers, like when we went across there from where we were going to take the walk, it was usually a big hairy man. That's the common thing.
Yeah, that's what
a big hairy man.
That's what
there's somewhere around about 100 and some odd names.
Yeah,
about 100 and some odd names for these creatures.
I mean, that's what we hear, Marco, you know, from some of the old timers, and you hear them through the way they say, you know, it was a big hairy, they saw the big hairy man, you know.
Yeah, and in Europe they have about several names for him. One is the wild man. Another is it's from a mountain up there. I forgot what they call it. I guess it's Scotland. They call it. And there's a bunch of different. Everywhere you go, they have different names.
Bill, has there been sightings in Europe, like you said, in Scotland?
Well, I don't know about Scotland, but we had one in Germany not too long ago. If you remember the guest.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a couple, you know, in other states. One from the Philippines as well.
Mm-hmm.
Australia. A lot of ones from Australia.
I can't remember what it's called now. The one from Australia.
Yowie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Caucasus Mountains, they call them Almast or Almasti.
Well, the old boy in Missouri called it Momo.
Yeah. I mean, you know, each of the Native American tribes have specific names for them as well. They're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, there's quite a few.
Some
Sasquatch and Bigfoot are the two main ones that are known by now because of the more recent things. But if you go back in the history,
some places they call it Steve the Gentle Giant.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'd like to thank, I want to thank everybody for coming on tonight and sharing. A lot of activity going on out there. I mean, a lot. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Marshall, thanks for bearing with us. We got excitable.
I want to thank you guys for all coming on and sharing all your encounter experience with us. And we'll see everybody next week, okay? Keep the Bigfoot alive and keep on Bigfooting, and we'll see everybody next week.
Good night, Tom Biscardi.
Good night, guys.
Good night, Tom, wherever you are.
Good night, Marcy.
Give me a holler.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, chasing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together.